I'll be reading John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
We are very privileged this morning to have with us Rick Eldred. Rick works for the college in York, Nebraska. He spent many years working for the church there at East Hill, but has recently joined the staff at York College. Other than teaching classes, his main job is church relations with college, with church relations. So he has spent a lot of time working on this, and that's one of the reasons why he's here today, is just to encourage us, and we look forward to his message today.
Great. Thank you, Glenn. Good morning, everybody. It is good to be with you today. Has anybody started eating their Kit Kat yet? Anybody broke into this package? Thank you so much for this. I don't know if it's going to make it all the way home. I'm going to try to show my wife this. We have seven grandchildren, and five of them live right there in York, so I know I'm not going to get this Kit Kat. I know that they will enjoy that. We'll eat it together. But for those that did not get the little package, there's a little flashlight in here with a little keychain, and the flashlight says, and it's a good reminder for us fathers and grandfathers, says, men who walk with God light the way. So what a wonderful, wonderful reminder with that. It is so good to be back with you, and I was here back in November, and had a wonderful time. This time I got to, I think the last time I was here, Glenn and Mary must have had somebody else at their house, because I had to stay in a motel. I had to. It was really nice. But we had a wonderful time last night at their home, enjoyed staying up and catching up on things, just talking about just everything in life. And so it's always good to be with them, and it's always good to reconnect with you. I keep forgetting how many connections there are among the group here. Different events and places that bring us together. And so it's just always good to be back here in Cedar Lou. When Glenn and I were talking about today, and this was about the only day in June that I could come out your way, we wanted to make sure that we connected with the theme of Father's Day. And so today our lesson is entitled A Father's Love. And so I want to encourage all of us as fathers, maybe fathers-to-be, our young boys and young men that are growing up, and we're going to look at a story in just a few minutes about what a father's love looks like. Of all of the methods of the teachings of Jesus, one of his favorite was stories. I love stories, don't you? We can get involved in stories. As a matter of fact, our youngest grandson just turned 3. And he's really excited now because he's getting rid of the diapers and he's getting into big boy pants. So, I mean, he's really excited about that and he's working really, really hard on that. And but when we get to watch them, one of my jobs is I get to put him down for his nap. That's a good job for dads. Dads, if you ever got to do that, you really missed out. And granddads, I mean, what a wonderful privilege it is. And so his name is Broderick, and we call him Brody. I call him Brokester. Some call him B. I mean, he has all kinds of names. His sister, who is 5 years old this summer, is playing T-ball. Any T-ball players among us today? Okay. And he's 3, and I think you have to be 4 or something like that to play in this little T-ball league. And so what he does is his dad is the coach, which always helps out. Anyway, he had a little shirt, so he gets to be a part of the... And his job is he gets the bats and brings the bats back. And we were watching him the other night, and he's so excited about hitting the bat. I mean, the little batter up there, before they can even hardly get through the batting motion, he's out on the plate. He's ready to get that bat and bring it back. But Brody, we lay down and he loves stories. His favorite story is a story we made up about him. And he likes to hear his name. And so he always says, "Now, Brody, which story do you want to hear today? I want to hear the story about Brody." And so he loves his stories. Jesus loved to tell stories. And over a third of all of his teachings are in the form of stories, or we might call parables. And so this morning, as we think about a father's love, I wanted to go through a story with you. Now, this story is familiar. All of us probably in this room have heard the story recorded in Luke chapter 15. It's the story about lost and found things. Story about a sheep among 100 strayed away and got lost, and the shepherd left the 99 and found that one lost sheep. It's a story about a woman who had 10 coins. She lost one of the coins, and she searched all through her house until she found that one lost coin. And then the latter part of the story is about a lost boy. Really, it's a story lost boys. One of them just didn't know he was so far away from his father's heart. But it's a story about lost and found things. And what they all have in common is they end in celebration. Except the last one. And we'll look at that. Now, you've heard the story about the prodigal son. And I'm sure you've heard sermons about that. Maybe about sermons about the younger boy that ran away. Sermons about the elder boy that could not understand how his father could receive this one that was so wicked and vile and filled with rebellion. But today, I want us to look at the story not through those eyes, the boy's eyes, but I want to look at the story through the eyes of the father. Because this is a story about a father's heart. And we're going to ask the question as we go through the story, what does a father's love look like? Let me just read the story one more time. I would rather tell it to you, but I want to be close to the text, so let me just read it. Luke chapter 15. Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the property that will belong to me.' And so he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in wicked living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his field to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up, I will go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called me like one of your hired hands.' And so he set off and went to his father. But while he was still afar off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and he put his arms around him and he kissed him. And then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger, and put sandals on his feet, and get that fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to celebrate. Today, as we look at this story, I want to look at through the eyes of the father and ask the question, what does a father's love, according to this story that Jesus shares, what does a father's love look like? And so we begin. We have several of these. Number one, a father's love is a divided love. A father's love is about giving. It is about sharing. The story begins with a shocking request. And I'm not sure we can grasp the extent of this request. The younger of the two boys comes to his father, and makes this demand. He says, I want my inheritance right now. Now, you and I know that inheritance, property, was shared at the death of the father. That's when it was handed out. That's when it was given. And that's what makes this story so shocking. Here is a boy that comes to his father and says, I want what you're going to give to me, but I want it right now. What he is saying, and we need to understand this, what he is saying is, Dad, I wish you were dead. I wish you weren't even around. Because I want what is mine right now. And so he makes this shocking demand. But maybe what's even more shocking is the response of the father. I mean, all the father had to say was, no. Dads, we know how to say that, don't we? No. You're not going to get that. But the father doesn't do that in the story. The Bible says that he gave them. Did you catch that? He gave them their allotment or inheritance, which means the younger boy got his portion, the older son got his double portion. They both received their estate while the father was living. And so here is a father's love. It is about sharing. It is about giving. The young boy demands the right of possession. He demands the right of disposal. He wants a settlement because he proposes to lead an independent life having nothing to do with his family. This is not just saying, I want property. He's basically saying, I don't want anything to do with this family. And so he gives them their inheritance. But a father's love is also about a grieving love. In this story, though it's not specifically laid out, I think it's very obvious the hurt that comes to this father. When you have a son that says to you, I wish you weren't a part of my life. I wish you were out of my life. I want to live independently far away from you. And so the father's heart is broken. He grieves over the son's rebellious spirit. He grieves over the son's rejection of his family and of his faith. This is a faith rejection. And he grieves when his son leaves. One of the pictures throughout the Old Testament that we must not miss is the grieving heart of God. God grieves over so much that humanity does. The story of the flood is about a grieving God. the story of the captivity of his own people, Samaria and Jerusalem, as about a grieving God. God is not happy when rebellion happens, when his family,
when his children walk away,
when the nation rejects him. His heart is broken. And maybe one of the best pictures of that comes from the very words of Jesus. Prior to his arrest and crucifixion, Jesus spends time in Jerusalem. And at one time he looks over the city. And in Matthew 23 he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and kills those that are sent to you, how often I would have gathered you under my wings like a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not." And so a father's love is a grieving love. But thirdly, a father's love in the story is a lasting love. In the midst of rebellion and hurt and all of that, a father doesn't stop loving. In spite of all that happens. And so he continues to love. One of the phrases, the repeated phrases, particularly throughout the Hebrew hymn book, which by the way is the book of Psalms, that was the Hebrew songbook. That's what they sang at festivals and when they got together. And one of the most repeated phrases in the book of Psalms is, "His love endures forever." In spite of all that we do, God loves us still. And so in this story, the father never stopped loving his son. He never stopped looking for his son. I can almost visualize this as the text story, as the story says, when the son was a long ways off, the father saw him. What that tells me is that maybe daily, the father would go to that place, to that spot that he last saw his son, maybe as he went over that last hill, that last horizon. And the father would go to that place and would look for the possibility of this son returning. He never stopped looking for his son. And he never stopped loving his son. In spite of all of the hurt, in spite of all of the rejection, all the pain, his love endured forever. Well, finally, in the story about what does a father's love look like, we come to this. A father's love is a forgiving love. It's a forgiving love. When the son begins to return, when he sees the son from a distance, there is this phrase that says, "And the father was filled with compassion." Did you catch it? He was filled with compassion. Now, that word compassion is a rare word used in the Gospels. It's not used very frequently. You will not find it describing the actions of men and women. More often than not, when it is used, it is talking about God, or it's talking about Jesus. Jesus was filled with compassion, and he begins to heal. This word compassion literally means your hurt in my heart. Your hurt in my heart. It's more than sympathy. We just feel, okay, I feel sorry for you. What's unique about this word is that when it is used, it is always followed with action. If you are hurting in your heart for somebody, you don't just stand there. You respond. You're going to do something. You can't help but do something. It always prompts action. You're hurt in my heart. And so here, the father springs into action. He is filled with compassion. And look what this compassion looks like. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him. He embraced him. Not once did the father chide. Not once did he rebuke. Not once did he mention past sins. It's as if the grief of the past was lost in the joy of the present. And immediately, the Father greets the Son. And even before the Son can finish his planned speech, he gets through part of it. Father, I've sinned against you, against heaven. But he didn't get to the part about, make me a daily servant. He didn't get to that part. Before he could even get there, the Father does something amazing. That's what's amazing about forgiveness. He forgives him. How do you know he forgives him? Look what he did. He reinstates this boy. Forgiveness is about putting you, taking you from one place and putting you into another realm. Here is this son that has been so wicked and vile, sinful. The Father forgives him and he places him, he reinstates him as a son. He's a son again. That's what forgiveness is all about. We who once were far off, the Bible says, now we've been brought nigh unto God. We're children of God. That's possible through forgiveness. And so he says, put a robe on him. A robe is the sign of honor. Matter of fact, he's going to be the guest of honor. He's the most important person among us today. That's what the robe is saying. This is it. He's the most important person. He's our guest of honor. Put a ring on his hand. The ring was a sign of identity. It was a sign of authority. It was a sign of belonging. He's now a part of this family again. Put shoes on his feet. Shoes were a sign of freedom. No longer a slave who runs barefooted, but now he's a son. And then kill the fatted calf. You know, the calf that we set aside from the herd, that we feed the best grain, the food, the ones we want to get really, really fat, because there's coming a day in this family that's going to be the most important day that we're going to celebrate together. Well, that day is today, he said. That calf we've been setting aside for the most important event is happening today. Get that calf, kill that fatted calf, and we are going to celebrate. For my son was dead, and now he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. I can't tell you how many times I have read this story, and I wanted to stop right here. I want to stop. I mean, what a wonderful way to end the story, right? The son comes home. He's welcomed by his father. He's reinstated. He's forgiven. It's as if it never happened. And they're going to celebrate. They're going to have a party. Everybody's going to be happy. But you and I know that's not the end of the story. Because there's another son involved. There's another son that did not leave. He's the older son. This older son lives with his father, is loyal to his father, faithful to his father, but he doesn't know his father's heart. Now you think about that for a minute. He lives with him, he's around him, but he doesn't know his heart. He doesn't understand, this older son, how his father could be so forgiving. What the older son wants is for this younger boy, he says, your son, he doesn't say my brother, he's not reconciled to the boy. How can you deal with him this way? The older son doesn't understand the heart of his father. He doesn't understand the love that this father has. And he wrestles with it. And the story is open-ended. We never know if the older boy ever comes in to join in the celebration. So he doesn't understand the father's heart. You know, the younger son, though he lived with his father all of these years, at least up until the time he left, he never understood his father's heart either. because he did not believe that his father would ever receive him back. And before he could even finish his speech, his father said, "Let's get going with the celebration." Neither boy, neither son understood the heart of the father. One was on the side of law, loyalty. The other was on the side of wickedness, brokenness, sinfulness. And they didn't understand how God, the Father here in this story, could love. I wonder kind of where we are with this. You know, sometimes when people mess up really bad, we kind of shake our heads and we say, "How could they do that?" And unfortunately, sometimes in our churches, there's no place for them to come back, because we want to be like this older boy. But this story tells us the father is not like that. He welcomes those that struggle, maybe with a little more loyalty or law abiding. He's okay. But also those that have found themselves in the midst of crisis. And so today I wanted to just end my lesson back with this last slide. There we go. I don't know if you can see, this is Rembrandt's painting. And it's actually entitled The Prodigal. That's the painting that Rembrandt did in the 1700s. It's a massive painting. It's about 8 feet by 6 feet. So it's really, really huge. It's over in a museum in Russia right now. And I wish the painting were clearer, because there are different people in the painting. Maybe you can make out their faces. I don't know who these others are in Rembrandt's mind as he was painting this, but I understand who this is off over on this side. The father and the prodigal lost boy. And as you look at that, I wanted us to end with the words, or at least the first verse of the song, and then we're going to sing it together. And then I'm going to give us a chance this morning, if there's something that we need to respond to, maybe personally or publicly, allow us to do that as well. The love of God is the song we're about to sing. It's a little different than the song we just sang about the love of God. But I appreciate these words so much. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. It may be today that you need to simply come to the embrace of the Father's arms. I want you to know He's always there. Wherever we have been, whatever we have done, He always says, "Come home. I will forgive. I will receive." If there's a way the church here can help you in your walk of faith this morning, whatever that need might be, why don't you come as we stand and let's sing the song together.